Mary, Queen of Scots, succeeded to the throne as a baby of 1 week old on the death of her father, James V. Now, she was guarded very closely in Scotland for the first 5 years of her life, and then she was sent to France to grow up and be educated. And at the age of 15, she married the Dauphin, later to become King François II. But there were secret clauses in the marriage contract, advantageous to France if Mary were to die, leaving no heirs. In the meantime, her mother, Mary of Guise, continued to rule Scotland as regent with the help of French soldiers. For a while, it seemed possible that the old alliance might well turn Scotland into little more than a French province. However, the French king died first, and soon afterwards, Mary returned to Scotland in 1561 to govern her own country. Just 1 year before Mary came back, Parliament had established Protestantism as Scotland's official religion. Mary, of course, was a devout Catholic, and she demanded for herself the complete freedom to at least privately practice her faith. But to many people, especially the fiery John Knox, the great Presbyterian reformer, this demand, the demand to practice her Catholic faith in private, this was idolatrous papism. But Mary was insistent, and her position seemed a little strengthened when she married the Catholic Earl of Darnley. But after the marriage, his true colours began to show, and he proved to be a perverted and devious character, and scheming for the crown. Mary had amongst her court a man by the name of David Rizzio, an Italian. He was the link between Mary in Scotland and the Pope in Rome. He became a close friend, adviser, and confidant, and it seems that Darnley became increasingly and insanely jealous of Rizzio, until finally he came bursting into the Queen's apartment with several Scottish nobles, though noble is hardly a good description. They dragged Rizzio from the table where he was eating with the Queen, and there, in front of her, in a brutal frenzy, stabbed him to death. Mary was pregnant at the time, and she feared for her own life and that of her unborn baby, and so, with the help of the Earl of Bothwell, she went into seclusion to safely have her child, the future James VI of Scotland and First of England. However, a little later, Darnley was killed in a big explosion at Kirkcaldy Field, his house outside Edinburgh. But when his body was discovered, it was found he'd been stabbed to death. A murder plot. And many, many people suspected Mary of complicity in the plot, although there was never any real evidence to prove it entirely. But then, she made her biggest mistake and lost all her remaining friends. She married the Earl of Bothwell, and he was known to have been one of Darnley's murderers. What's more, he was a Protestant, and what's more again, he was divorced. And even on top of that, Mary remarried very, very soon after Darnley's death. By so doing, she offended everyone, and even brought down upon herself a denunciation from the Pope. By now, she was abandoned. She was on the defensive. She was captured and imprisoned in a little tower on an island in Loch Leven, just north of Edinburgh. She managed to escape, but unable to rally support, she had to abdicate in favour of her young son James, just 1 year old at the time, and fled into England to seek refuge from her cousin on the English throne, Elizabeth I. Well, she got refuge all right, but not the kind she was hoping for. Her refuge was imprisonment. You see, as far as Elizabeth was concerned, it was far too dangerous to have Mary around loose. Although England was officially Protestant, there were still many Catholics in the country, and they, of course, did not recognize Henry VIII's divorce from his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, in which case, in their eyes, Elizabeth I was illegitimate, and if she was illegitimate, then she had no right to be on the English throne. If she had no right to be on the throne, then the next in line of succession would have been Henry VIII's great niece, Mary, Queen of Scots. And so, Elizabeth held her in prison. She kept her imprisoned, in fact, for 19 years. In the later years, moving her out to Fotheringay Castle near Bedford. And then, finally, Mary, having been suspected of plotting to overthrow Elizabeth from her prison cell, was sentenced to be executed. And so she was, at Fotheringay Castle. Meanwhile, James VI, Scotland's first Protestant king, was growing up. Now, he was coarse and unattractive, but shrewd, and he knew that should Elizabeth remain unmarried, then she would leave no legitimate heirs, in which case he was successor to the English throne, and he cleverly arranged his life and his rule towards that end. Sure enough, in 1603, Queen Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen, died, and James VI of Scotland went south to London to be crowned also James I of England. The two countries were still separate, but both crowns were now being worn by one monarch. And only once did he ever go back home in his further reign of 22 years. And yet, strangely, by removing himself to London, he was able to increase his control over Scottish affairs. But where that control was to fail was in the very prickly area of religion. The differences between the English and the Scottish churches were wide and significant, and attempts to try and bring them together was to cause a great deal of bitterness and controversy in Scotland. But more about that next time.